Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, The Big Print, What Happened to America and How Sound Money Will Fix It, by Lawrence Leopard, examines how modern monetary policy, government debt expansion, and persistent deficits have reshaped the U.S. economy and everyday life. Framed in accessible language for readers who are not professional economists, the book argues that the long era of easy money has distorted incentives across finance, business, and politics, while quietly transferring purchasing power away from wage earners and savers. Leopard connects the dots between central banking, inflation, asset bubbles, and rising inequality, focusing on how money creation and debt monetization influence everything from housing affordability to the stability of retirement plans. He also introduces the idea of sound money as a practical alternative, discussing why a monetary system anchored to scarcity and credibility may better preserve value over time. Rather than treating inflation as a one-time event, the book presents it as a structural outcome of policy choices and outlines what a different path could look like for households, investors, and the nation. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, how money creation became the default policy tool. A central theme is that U.S. economic management increasingly relies on monetary expansion as the quickest way to smooth recessions, fund government commitments, and support financial markets. Leopard frames the shift as a historical process. Once a country normalizes larger deficits and higher debt loads, the political appetite for austerity fades, and the central bank becomes the buyer of last resort to keep borrowing costs contained. This dynamic encourages repeated rounds of stimulus that feel painless at first because they do not require explicit tax hikes. The book links this approach to changes in the behavior of households and businesses. Consumers learn that credit is always available, while corporations and investors assume liquidity will arrive when markets wobble. Over time, that assumption can change risk-taking, push capital toward speculative assets, and reward leverage over productivity. Leopard also emphasizes that inflation is not only a rise in consumer prices, it can also show up as financial asset inflation, where stocks and real estate rise faster than incomes. By presenting money printing as a system with feedback loops, the book invites readers to see why policy responses often grow larger rather than smaller, and why reversing course becomes politically difficult. Secondly, inflation as a redistribution mechanism. The book treats inflation as more than an abstract macroeconomic statistic, arguing that it functions like a hidden transfer of wealth. When the money supply expands and purchasing power declines, the burden is not evenly shared. Leopard highlights how wage earners, retirees on fixed incomes, and cautious savers can fall behind because their cash flows adjust slowly. Meanwhile, borrowers can benefit as debts are repaid with currency that buys less than it once did. This difference is especially relevant for highly indebted governments and institutions whose liabilities are nominal. The analysis also explores why the public can feel economic stress even when headline indicators appear stable. If housing, education, healthcare, and other essentials rise faster than wages, people experience a decline in living standards despite nominal income growth. The book ties these outcomes to asset price dynamics. If monetary policy lifts the value of financial assets, those who already own them gain disproportionately, reinforcing inequality. Leopard positions this as a moral and social issue as much as an economic one, because it can erode trust in institutions and increase polarization. The topic ultimately encourages readers to evaluate inflation by asking who gains, who loses, and why that pattern persists. Thirdly, debt, deficits, and the fragility of the current system. Another major topic is the scale of U.S. debt and the compounding effect of structural deficits. Leopard argues that high debt levels reduce policy flexibility because raising interest rates can quickly increase government interest expense and stress both public and private balance sheets. In such an environment, policymakers face a dilemma: allow rates to rise and risk recession, defaults, or market instability, or keep rates suppressed and accept ongoing currency debasement. The book explains how this trade-off can create a form of financial repression, where real returns on safe savings are negative, encouraging people to take more risk to maintain purchasing power. Leopard connects these pressures to broader fragility. Pension assumptions, bank balance sheets, and corporate leverage can all become sensitive to even modest shifts in rates. He also discusses how confidence underpins the system, since fiat money depends on collective belief that it will hold value and remain widely accepted. If households and global investors begin to doubt fiscal discipline, the cost of financing deficits can rise, forcing even more central bank intervention. This topic frames the problem as a cycle that feeds itself, making reform harder the longer it is delayed. Fourthly, what sound money means and why scarcity matters. Leopard advances the idea of sound money as a corrective to chronic debasement. In this framing, sound money is money that is difficult to create in unlimited quantities and therefore better at preserving purchasing power across long periods. The book contrasts a discretionary system, where policy choices can expand money supply rapidly, with a system anchored to scarcity and rules. Leppard emphasizes that credible money helps align incentives, savings are rewarded, capital allocation is guided by real returns rather than liquidity waves, and long-term planning becomes easier for families and businesses. This topic also explores how trust is built. A monetary unit that holders believe will retain value reduces the need to speculate simply to stay afloat. While readers may associate sound money with historical examples like gold, the book also invites discussion about modern alternatives that aim to replicate scarcity and verifiability. The key argument is less about nostalgia and more about constraints. When money creation is constrained, governments must confront trade-offs more transparently, and society is less likely to drift into policies that appear free in the short run but expensive over time. Leppard presents sound money as a foundation for healthier growth, not merely an investment thesis. Lastly, practical implications for investors and everyday households beyond macro theory, the book speaks to how individuals can interpret policy signals and protect their financial well-being. Leppard encourages readers to think in terms of real returns, meaning returns after inflation, rather than being satisfied with nominal gains. In an environment where currency value may erode, holding large cash balances can carry an opportunity cost, while long-duration bonds can be vulnerable if inflation expectations rise. The book's perspective often leads readers to evaluate assets that historically resist debasement, such as scarce stores of value and productive real assets, while also considering diversification and risk management. For households, Leppard connects monetary policy to tangible decisions: mortgage versus rent, fixed versus variable rates, emergency savings, and retirement planning. He underscores that the goal is not to predict every market move, but to understand the regime. When policy is biased toward monetary expansion, the incentives differ from a world of stable money. The topic also highlights the psychological side. Inflation can push people toward short-term thinking, while a sounder monetary foundation supports patience and planning. Overall, the book aims to translate monetary debates into clearer choices about saving, investing, and maintaining purchasing power. In conclusion, this book fits readers who want a coherent explanation of why prices, assets, and opportunity feel distorted in modern America, including investors, professionals, retirees, entrepreneurs, and policy-curious citizens. It is especially useful for anyone who senses that traditional advice about saving in cash, relying on bonds for safety, or assuming steady affordability no longer works as expected. The main benefit is clarity. By linking deficits, central banking, inflation, and asset markets into one narrative, the reader can better interpret headlines and make decisions based on incentives rather than slogans. That can improve daily life through more resilient budgeting, more realistic retirement assumptions, and a sharper understanding of which financial risks are visible versus hidden. Compared to similar books on inflation or central banking, Leppard's value is his emphasis on incentives and on the practical consequences of persistent money creation, not just the technical mechanics. The argument for sound money is presented as a systemic solution rather than a niche preference, and the discussion naturally connects macro policy to portfolio construction and household planning. If you want a single, readable framework that explains how the current system evolved and why a scarcity-based monetary anchor could change outcomes, this book is worth buying for its integrated perspective and actionable lens. If you would like to support Lawrence Leppard, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.